Life Audio.
Welcome to Christian Natural Health with naturopathic Dr. Lauren DeVille. Christian Natural Health is the podcast on how to get and stay healthy, God's way. You'll hear topics on nutrition, exercise, sleep, avoiding toxicity, meditating on scripture, what supplements to take, stress management, defeating anxiety and worry, how to reconcile Eastern medicine approaches with Christianity, and a whole lot more. Now, here's your host, Dr. Lauren.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Welcome back to another episode of Christian Natural Health. Today, I'm excited to have Brant Hansen with us. Brant is a best-selling author, syndicated radio host, and advocate for healing children with correctable disabilities through Cure International Children's Hospitals. His award-winning radio show, The Brant Hansen Show, airs on top stations in the U.S. and Canada. His podcast, The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, has been downloaded more than 15 million times. He has been named Personality of the Year multiple times by Christian music broadcasters and is called Christian music's most beloved radio personality by Christian Voice magazine. Brant writes about various topics related to faith, including masculinity, in his book, The Men We Need and Forgiveness in Unoffendable, in which he was recently interviewed on ABC's Good Morning America. Brant's new book, Life is Hard, God is Good, Let's Dance, releases January 16. Welcome, Brant. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Honored to be here.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the premise behind the book, Life is Hard, God is Good, Let's Dance.
Well, it's like Jesus tells us not to worry,
yeah,
and not to be anxious. And whenever I talk about it on the air, it's really interesting because I sometimes get pushback from people who are like, "Well, that's not realistic." Or it's my belief that Jesus isn't crazy, like that he is in touch with reality more so than we are, and that we can actually live life free of being worried, like being weighed down by everything that's happening. But we get so much information and stuff that people are just perpetually anxious. I get it. We have an epidemic of anxiety in our culture. And I wanted to address that because somebody will tell you like, well, if you're not going to worry about this and that, what about this issue? What about that? Like you're being naive. And I'm like, no, I'm not being naive. There's a thing where you actually know more, not less. And part of the knowing more is trusting the nature of God and actually knowing how this all ends. And that takes a lot of the steam out of the anxiety, and it's a much healthier way to live. Like Jesus, he knows us, he made us. That's my belief on this. So he's brilliant.
Right. Yeah, of course. And we know we read the end of the book. We know how it ends. kind of thing.
Didn't that change everything though? Cause it's like I tell people, like if you're watching a game, I don't know if you're a sports fan, Lauren, are you at all?
No. Not even a little, but go with it.
Somebody listening might relate
right.
to this.
Somebody is.
Like you get all worked up when the ref rips off your team or you're down. I had a favorite team that was down 18 points in the NCAA tournament with like 3 minutes left. And I remember watching the game and I said to my kid, I shouldn't have, I was very pessimistic. It's over. Why are we even? I was so down. We're going to be eliminated. Right. Well, so they came back and won.
Right.
And it made the final four as a result. Well, I can watch that game on YouTube now. I'm not stressed out.
Right. Cause you know how it ends. That's
how it ends. So even when the ref makes a bad call or, you know, some guy misses an easy shot or like, I'm not yelling at the screen. Right. Cause I know how it is. You can still be excited.
Right.
It's still fun to watch. But it's, you, if you trust how something ends, you can everything takes on a different color in life. So that's all I'm trying to say.
No, that makes perfect sense. So in the nitty gritty, as far as it, you know, when people are reading a news headline of something terrible happening or something happening in their personal lives, what does it mean to outsource your worry to the Lord? Like, how do you practically do that?
Yeah. So I got this from, I don't know if you know who Tim Ferriss is, but he's like, okay. So he has got podcasts and stuff. Okay. I should have finished the book. I didn't finish the book, but he wrote this one book about, you know, limiting your work hours or whatever.
4-hour work week. Yes.
4-hour work week. Exactly. Uh-huh. So one of the things he was talking about is outsourcing everything. Like you can. And one of them was like, he had a personal assistant he hired in India. Mm-hmm. This woman helped him with everything. Mm-hmm. And he, as a joke, one morning, I thought this was so funny. As a joke, he told her, "Hey, I'm really worried about something. Can you worry about it for me today?"
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the funny thing was he said, "You know what? It worked."
It worked. He's like, it's taken care of.
Right. It doesn't, like, because he's like, sure, knowing that somebody else was worrying about it, sure, freed him up to, like, that's really funny, but it's, there's something to that.
Right. And again,
The Bible's so full of wisdom that is for us. Like, it's not burdening us. It's telling us how to live. Mm-hmm. So it's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Cast your cares on him. Mm-hmm. Bring your anxiety to him, whatever mm-hmm. you're anxious about. And with gratitude, mm-hmm. it's telling us. And then the peace, of, like, if you do that, mm-hmm. don't be anxious. Instead, pray mm-hmm. about it and tell God what you need. Tell him what you're thankful for. And then it says the peace of God will guard your heart. Like, this is how to actually live. Mm-hmm. So the outsourcing something, so I'm not in control of this. Mm-hmm. God, I want you to worry about this for me because I can't handle it. Mm-hmm. I even think of it like I'm at a desk at work and somebody brings something radioactive to me, to my desk, like an envelope that's glowing. And like, that's not, I don't
you're
deal with
it.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, right.
You take that to the glowing envelope department.
Yeah, yeah.
that's not my thing.
Right.
And so I think practicing this, it's not an abracadabra thing, but it works. Mm-hmm. Like practicing this, I'm going to be grateful, mm-hmm. actively tell God what's going on. So I'm forced back to talking to him, reminding mm-hmm. me that he's actually in control of this thing, not me. Mm-hmm. And the gratitude chases away anxiety. It's very difficult to be grateful. Grateful and simultaneously be worried or angry.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. Like,
it's just genius. He knows our psychology. He knows how we operate. And this is a better way to live. So you can actually do this.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting, like the implication of what you just said sounds like we think as we're worrying that we're actually accomplishing something. Like we have this idea that we're in control by the fact that we're still thinking about the problem, but it's a complete illusion. So if
that is absolutely right.
Right. If you can cast it on him, right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an illusion. It's an illusion of control. Like we're somehow doing something about it by worrying. We're not.
Right. Yeah.
So what's so genius, again, people need to think in terms of Jesus as a genius about how to live.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Not some pie in the sky being that doesn't understand. Mm-hmm. He's telling us, don't worry. Mm-hmm. Be like the animals.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're not worried, which is, in fact, quite true. You talk to anyone who knows anything about the endocrine system, or there's zoologists, or there's a primate neuroendocrinologist at Stanford has wrote mm-hmm. a book called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Right? So there aren't any other creatures on the planet mm-hmm. who get ulcers. Mm-hmm. We're the only ones who can borrow threats mm-hmm. from tomorrow.
Right, yeah.
Zebras don't do that. They're not thinking, hey, a lion could come next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. What if it happens? Oh, no. What if? We're the only ones. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to do this. Jesus is telling us that. So be like the animals. Mm-hmm. Because worry, we now know, will kill you.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So, and you're also alluding to in Matthew 6, when Jesus is telling us, don't worry about tomorrow. But what I find so interesting is he's saying, the reason you don't worry about it is because God's going to take care of you. Like, it's not like he hears you and now you're stuck and you're not going to get those needs met. Trust him. Seek first the kingdom And all of these things are going to be added to you. Why are you stressing out about it and creating more problems that are completely unnecessary?
That's exactly right. But so I know what can happen, and I totally understand this. I'm human too, just of course, but
right.
We go to worst case scenarios in our heads and we're like, this does happen to people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing Jesus did, and I do write about this in the book, but the thing Jesus did where they went out on the boats and the storm kicked in on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Like he apparently brought a cushion. He actually uses the word cushion in the Bible, which I think is funny. how many times is the word cushion in the Bible? Once.
Yeah, yeah. But
he's asleep.
And everybody's soaked, I bet you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was his idea. If you go back a couple of verses, that was his idea to take those boats out there.
Right.
He was doing this to say, let's see how you handle this. And then he's kind of like, you guys failed doing a little test here and you failed. You don't need to freak out. Even if the boat did go down,
mm-hmm.
you'd be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to, like, ultimately, you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even if, and when you encounter people who are believers who've gone through the worst case scenario, they will have this weird story about how God showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Gave them something they'd never experienced before, and
right.
hard to relate to if you haven't experienced it, and I haven't, not like that, but I'm trusting the character of God that if it does, I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. He's got you regardless, for sure. So, and you talk in the book a little bit about the concept of deconstructing faith, this movement to do that. Tell us what that is, like, define it, and what would you say to people who are in the process of doing that, or maybe who are in leaving the faith altogether?
Well, yeah, I can relate to people who get disenchanted with stuff. And I've done a lot. I've been disenchanted with a lot of church culture stuff. I get it.
Yeah.
Why I'm not, I shared why I'm not. And it is because I'm not leaving the faith, because I trust the character of Jesus. I trust the character of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's too good to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find interesting, and what I wrote about in the book, is that when I read these manifestos from people that are leaving, they're maybe Christian artists or big time Christian authors or something, like, well, I'm done with this.
Hmm. I wasn't aware that was going on. Interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Usually after their career has peaked or something has happened that they've been, you know, they're not going to have the same success or something.
Right.
But that's, I don't know, you know. Or their marriage is breaking up because of something they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly they're losing faith.
Mm-hmm.
What I find interesting, though, is when they write about it, and they do write, they don't mention Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why I'm leaving the faith, a long manifesto, and they never mention, like, that's really odd to me. Why were you in this?
In the first place, yeah.
I'm not in this for the cultural trappings. I'm not, like I say, I'm not in this for the Christian t-shirts or the movies. I'm in this because of Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
So if you're leaving, and your statement on leaving, you never mention him. Like, I don't even know what that is. When I see the kingdom of God, I get to travel to these hospitals around the world that are all about Jesus and healing these kids with surgeries that
mm-hmm.
allow them to walk or live, like, by the thousands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kingdom of God in action.
Yeah, for sure.
When I see that, I'm not walking away from that.
Right. No, absolutely. So when people are deconstructing faith, they're not, like, what was the faith in? What is it? What do you mean by deconstruct? Or do they just say that this is useless, or what?
Well, people will have different categories for it, but a lot of times it's people reflecting on how Christians are to this or to that.
You know, so they deconstruct the church.
Yeah, deconstruct the church. And okay. Then they're also like, I don't believe that this is the only way anymore. I found that I can make a lot of friends who aren't believers, and they make great points. It ranges with each person.
I see.
But it usually is like, I'm on my way out the door from any sort of Orthodox Christianity.
Sure, yeah. So, I mean, I just recently re-listened to C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity, and I absolutely love that book. I've read it so many times, but he makes such fantastic points of the fact that you can just use, I mean, even aside from all of the apologetics and the science, you can use philosophy to lead you straight back to the God of the Bible, and all of the rest of those things, they can just be misleading, but it doesn't ultimately lead you to anything valuable.
Something he was really good at, and I think people need to do more. And I encourage people who are struggling, because it's legit. Like, a lot of people are struggling with their faith, or they're like, what is this? What's going on? Because the culture is so, the tide is pulling so strong the other way. So I get it. However, I'm like, okay, let's apply that same deconstructive impetus to the culture at large. Like, ask some tough questions of our larger culture. Does this work? Is what we're doing working? Like, what we're doing about human identity, or like, what, you know, all like reimagining marriage, like, is this paying off? People are happier. Suicide rates are down. Deaths from despair are down. Drug addiction. No, all of this stuff has skyrocketed. This doesn't work. So my whole thing is, be, is, if you're going to be skeptical, I get it. I'm a skeptic too, but be skeptical in a very equal opportunity way, because honestly, the alternatives to Jesus to me don't work. They don't make sense. They don't acknowledge our brokenness, and they don't provide the peace. People are not at peace. His way of living provides that.
Well, and the title of the book includes God is Good. And I feel like that that's, for a lot of Christians, they might say that, but they don't necessarily know him as good. And I think that makes such a huge difference. There's this idea of God is good by definition, but he can do all these awful things, and we attribute them to him, and that's not his identity. Can you speak to that a little bit? Like, how did you come to recognize him as good the way that we understand?
So it's weird, but a lot of Christians don't know this. It's certainly not Christian. They don't know what Jesus' favorite subject was. If you ask, they don't know. And I wasn't taught it. But he's, the good news to Jesus is that the kingdom of God is here. His favorite subject. He's constantly talking about the kingdom. The kingdom is like this. It's like that. It's like this other thing. He's constantly explaining it. And somehow when we talk to believers, and I didn't know it for the longest time, it's like, what is that? We don't know. And if you don't know, you're missing out on something, because everybody's yearning for this kingdom and they don't even know it. So that's why we get goosebumps. And I wrote a chapter about goosebumps in the book. Like, when you see certain things in life, it gives you goosebumps. You can watch a video of a soldier returning and it's surprising his daughter. Or someone hearing for the first time. Someone seeing for the first time. So, like, the hospitals I work with, we see kids running and jumping for the first time because we got them a surgery and told them this is because of Jesus. Like, so it gives you goosebumps. That's because it resonates with you. This is, you're recognizing home. Like, that when someone's healed like that, it's an advanced trailer of heaven. So when Jesus is healing, he's saying the kingdom's breaking through. See, so like, this is, the lame will leap like deer, the deaf will hear. He's talking about, he's showing the kingdom is available now. It's breaking through. And when people see the Olympics, they see all these nations together for the opening ceremonies, and there's this pomp and circumstance and all these people from all these different backgrounds smiling and to get, like, it's like there's something in that that resonates with us. Royal wedding. There's something that resonates. Like, this is all an advanced trailer of heaven. And even if you don't believe in God, you still get these goosebumps. Why? Because you're like nostalgic for this place you haven't been yet.
And that's, I mean, it says that Jesus was the one who went around destroying the works of the devil. He healed everyone who came to him as well. And that is what, you know, attracted people to him so much, because he was the one who was going around destroying the works of the devil and bringing the kingdom, and everybody wanted a piece of that.
Everybody wants a piece of that. And like, this is a good thing. We want this. And like, God is good. When you see this in action, like, heck yeah.
Every good and perfect gift comes down from him.
Everything we have, like, every, at the micro and macro level of the universe down to the subatomic particles, it's just this beauty. That, or music itself. Like, the good, he didn't have to, we don't have to have frequencies that cause us to cry or dance. This is all, this is all his goodness overflowing. It's that he just keeps ladling on top of it, like, over and over and over.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell us a little bit more about the work with Cure and these kids that you see having their disabilities reversed. Like just a couple anecdotes. How'd you get into it and stories of what it's like?
Oh, I do write a lot about that in the book because it's weird that I wound up doing this, but I didn't plan it. But I work with Cure. There's eight full time right now, eight full on surgical hospitals, permanent training hospitals that are all about Jesus. There's nothing else like this in the world. So they're not people coming in for a week or back out. It's like these are full on. They live there. And we heal the kids and we tell them about the kingdom of God. So just in the last few months, so since July, the number of people who have become Christians at our hospitals, 13,760.
That's so great.
And
Wow.
people haven't even heard about Cure, which is weird. If you just go to cure.org, you're going
Yeah.
to see. It's the best kept secret in the world, and it needs to not be. So that's why I'm trying to get the word out. I wound up going to the hospital in Afghanistan a few times. I sat in on the first surgery. It was a girl who was 17 years old. She'd not basically been let out of the house her entire life because she had a cleft palate. There's this hole underneath her nose. Was treated as a curse, and her parents didn't want the neighborhood to see her because they would chase them all out of the neighborhood. She's a monster. So she had the surgery done, and afterward, I was in the children's ward, and she was back there with her mom. This is, again, it's a full-grown woman at this point. She's 17, and already the surgery had repaired her face. It was still there's some swelling. There's still a suture there, but she looked completely different. Unrecognizable. And I was in there and I was like, hey, I was wishing I had a mirror and I didn't. And then I was like, oh, my phone. I'll use my phone. And I had my phone. I turned the camera around and handed it. And she was just in shock. Like she could not. And I was thinking at the time, I'm thinking, like watching her do that, like every girl wants to be beautiful. Like, she just looks so different. And the Cure does this thousands and thousands of times. So it's club foot, it's stuff like a 15-year-old boy who just, it's just a surgery and he'll be able to get up and run instead of living as a beggar his whole life.
Sure. Oh, man.
Well, there's something about healing. And that's why Jesus miracles, like he's healing. He could have done anything, right? But 75 or 80% of his miracles are healing. It's like, again, the kingdom is breaking through. Little bodies are being restored. Everybody else is destroying little people out in the world. But the people of Jesus are putting little bodies back together. I'm like, sign me up.
Absolutely. So yeah, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his signature. And
Yes. And
Jesus,
ours is what? The opposite.
exactly. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. And I love that it's doing that. And how does that impact the way that you look at all of the other chaos that's going on in the world when you see that the kingdom is breaking through in these places?
That's just it. It's exactly that. Like I'm aware the kingdom is breaking through. Like CNN's not going to show you, Fox News isn't showing you. Like nobody's going to show you this stuff. But God is at work in the world. If you, but you may not know it. But for me to be able to see it, and that's one reason I included a lot of the little vignettes in this book was like I want other people to see it. He's where I when people are like, "Where's your God now?" What when they see a tragedy, I'm like, "Hey, you know what? Come with me to one of these hospitals. I'll show you exactly where he is. He's where he always has been, which is with the marginalized and the broken and the hurting and the isolated and the sick."
And the thing is, we're still in a war zone. So
Yeah.
it, of course, there's still going to be chaos and tragedy as well, but God is also at work, and that just isn't being highlighted. I love
And
it.
he's using us to do it, to be his hands and feet, to do what he told us to do, which is heal the sick and claim the kingdom. So
That's
I'm
right.
like, that helps me a lot, all the other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and if people are seeking a message of peace overall, instead of like all of the typical self-help and success plans, kind of what does your book talk about that's a little bit of a different approach to how they
Yeah,
might?
it's the capturing your thoughts. Speaking truth to your own stupid thoughts. And I have a billion stupid thoughts through the day, but I'm getting better at going, you know what? That's a stupid thought. I'm going to change my, or selfish or wrong, or just, and when I replace it with something true, something noble, something, you know, that's pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. When I replace it, I can live at peace.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going down these thoughts, these streams, like I can capture, you can become aware of it, speak truth to it, just like David does in Psalms. He's like, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? But he's talking to himself. He's like, you can talk to yourself.
Right.
And straighten out this, the dumb stuff. But this is a discipline, but it's a good discipline. And over time, you get better at it and you kind of inhabit that and you become this person that's actually at peace. And everybody else is like, what is the deal? Why are you hopeful?
Sure. Yeah. That's what people are supposed to be asking us, that question. They should be scared that there's a difference.
Makes sense, right?
So, and how is that, like, you talk about this idea of a second naivete or a second simplicity. How does that pertain to this?
Well, so here's what happens. I think you wind up with a childlike faith. And when you do, so you have this hope, you have this trust, you can have this lightness of heart. Joy is really what Dallas Willard called a sense of well-being, regardless of circumstances. When you have that, other people will say, well, you just don't understand the world. Like you, like the, this, and that you haven't encountered the complexities of what about redactive criticism, or what about, you know, this, the problem of pain. What about that? Like, so you start naive as a little kid, right? Like that Jesus loves me, this I know. And the complexity. And the second naivete is over here, where you just return to, you know what? Jesus loves me, this I know.
Keeping your focus where it needs to be. So I was thinking
It'll look to other people like you have this childlike faith, and you do. But it's not because you don't understand the complexity. It's that you've gone through this stuff, and you are, and you've wound up back with trusting God. So people will think you're ignorant, you're naive. Like it's because you know more.
And you found him to be faithful and trustworthy. So what have I not asked you that you want to make sure you leave with our audience?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. You asked good questions already. I don't know. I think, I try to make the book funny, but that's in the eye of the beholder. So, but I do, I appreciated, this probably isn't a question to ask, but I appreciated a review I got from Publishers Weekly, which they're pretty tough to please. And they said that the book had a light touch and a lasting impact. And I like that.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. Cause that's what I'm going for. Like, this isn't, I don't want to preach.
Right.
I want to be self-deprecating, and I just want to show you the stories. I'm kind of like Forrest Gump, like the stuff I've gotten to see.
Yeah.
Without intending to.
Right.
I can just write it down and go, you're not going to believe this, what happened to this little girl, or what I was playing with this kid. And then, and I've gotten to go all over the world, and I get to report on that, what God's doing. So,
That's awesome. And it's so interesting to me how if you travel widely and you see more about what's going on in the world, it really does kind of change your perspective. I mean, so many of us, I think, are in tunnel vision of exactly where we are and not recognizing how much more there is elsewhere.
And when people are like, Christians are this way, they're like that. Christians do this. They're like, you don't know Christians.
You know,
a tiny fraction of people in this country, maybe, but like, you're telling me an African woman does this and that, like that's the typical Christian. Like getting out to see what God is actually doing among, get out of your like, people just reacting to their cultural setting. You're like, hey, God may be better than your blinders.
You think. Absolutely. I love it. So where can people go to learn more about you and also about Cure?
Cure.org for Cure.
Okay. Awesome.
I'm at brandhanson.com. But if you were just going to go to one of those websites, I highly recommend cure.org because it's the best expression of Jesus I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I love it. That's great. So I will link to both of those in the show notes and also to your book. Thank you so much for this. This has been really encouraging. I appreciate it.
Good, 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 good. My pleasure.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Are you looking for a holistically minded healthcare practitioner who truly treats root cause rather than symptom suppression? Unfortunately, even in the alternative healing professions, this isn't a given. That's why I've created wholehealthdoctor.com, a resource to help connect patients to healthcare practitioners in their area who share a root cause philosophy. Alternatively, most of the practitioners listed also practice telehealth. So if there isn't anyone local to you, you can still find a great practitioner to help you regain optimal health. Go to wholehealthdoctor.com. That's wholehealthdr.com. Type in your location or adjust the specialty that you're looking for and find the practitioner who's right for you.
Thanks for listening to Christian Natural Health. This show is run by you, so please write in with topic and guest suggestions for future shows. For more great content, subscribe to Dr. Lauren's blog at www.drlaurendeville.com or follow her on Facebook or Twitter at Dr. Lauren Deville. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share it with your friends and give us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It really helps us to stand out so other people can discover great content as well. Have a great week and God bless you.
The love of God is immeasurable. It's unchanging. It's indescribable. Because God loves you so much, you can sleep through the night in peace. With Abide Bible Sleep Meditation, you can fall asleep fast with relaxing sleep stories based on Scripture. To start listening now, go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Abide Bible Sleep Meditation. You can also download the Abide app for more biblical meditations at abide.com.